A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In this episode, I'm talking to my good friend Kendra McGregor. Initially, this episode was supposed to be a nerdy episode, but it turned into a very informative conversation about narcolepsy and its effect on Kendra post-brain injury. Boom! Intro done! Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Lauren.
And we are...
The Neuro Nerds. Yes! That was on time!
I feel pretty good about that. Are you a stroke or brain injury survivor looking for community and support? Well, the Neuro Nerds are here to help. Join our free USORock community platform to connect with other survivors like you. Once you join our community, you'll have access to free virtual events and resources to help with your brain injury recovery. You can make new friends, jump on audio chat conversations, and even join my private coaching program to get one-on-one support. So what are you waiting for? Go to community.usorock.coach. Yes, that's .coach, not .com. And join the USORock community today. Welcome to the Neuro Nerds. All right, what's the running theme, gang? Very special episode with me all the way from Connecticut. Wait, is Connecticut even a place? Is that a place?
Unfortunately, it is. But I live here.
This is my amazing dear friend, Kendra Dragon Warrior, or Ken Dragon Warrior, right?
Yeah. That's
What's
right.
up, Kendra? How you doing?
Hey, good.
Tell you what's funny.
Which is different than what I said yesterday, like a little bit earlier when you asked me how I was doing.
Yeah, you basically just made noises. I think that's what it was. It wasn't even like a response. It was noises and emojis of like fire, right? And chaos. Yeah, the little skull emoji. So, Kendra, we've been friends for like a minute now, huh?
Dude. Forever. We've been friends for like 2 years now.
Wait, seriously?
2020.
Wait. No, wait, was it 2020? Get out of here. It has to be
right before the pandemic.
It has to be longer than that.
Maybe 2019. Well, you were living at your old house.
Yeah. And that was we moved into the new crib right before the pandemic.
Yes.
But I met you when I was still recording episodes with Lauren at the old crib.
Yes.
And can I be completely honest? I have no idea how we met. I don't remember that at all.
I remember it really well. So I had a meme page at the time that I still update every now and again. Not really. But I had a meme page and I was like trying to follow other nerdy pages. And I found yours just because I had the word nerds in it. And then you guys had started a live, you and Lauren.
Vaguely remember this.
Yes. So... The very first time we met, you had started a live with Lauren and I just clicked on it for whatever reason. And you guys thought that there was a ghost in the house. So you both went running out of the house into the yard. And I'm like, who the fuck are these people? Like, what is going on? And you guys are like so convinced there's a ghost in the house. And I don't know. I don't even remember how the conversation started after that, but we had met during a different live and Felice was doing the live while you were driving and she read my username out loud, which was Beautiful Nerd Love. And you were like, you sound like my people, DM me later. And I did. And I just was like, sure, I'll DM.
Can I say what's really funny about having a brain injury that results in short-term memory issues is I don't recall a lot of things. But then when I hear the secondhand information of like the way it went down, I'm like, you know what? That sounds exactly like me. That sounds like exactly what I would say and do. So, yeah, I'm so happy that you remember, because I say this because like people are like, oh, I'm not important enough to remember. No, dicks, I have a brain injury. OK, it's not I adore every single one of you guys. If I forget a name or situation or how we met, that's just how my brain works, you know? And let's be real, right? The only thing that matters is this current moment, right? Come on.
You're so right.
Right?
You're so right.
And in this moment, you and I are fucking family. So it doesn't matter how we met.
That's right.
So we're the Neuroners over here, and we're a brain injury podcast / pop culture podcast. How are you part of this amazing brain injury community, Kendra?
Oh, man. I think a couple of ways. So first, I suffered a traumatic brain injury when I was in fourth grade. I must have been 10. I had fallen off of my bike going at a tremendous speed downhill. I hit like a no parking sign, went over my handlebars, cracked my helmet in half. I was bleeding everywhere, teeth through my lips. I was just a wreck. And I had a lot of issues with hand-eye coordination after that, having to like do... I remember being in a restaurant nothing I was doing was making sense. Like I was trying to cut a bagel with like a plastic fork and knife. And my mom was like, how are you doing? And at one point that bagel flipped out of my plate and hit the window of the restaurant and like slid down with like cream cheese. It's like sliding down the window. And that's when we kind of knew something. Yeah. And that's when we kind of knew something was wrong. With just like how my brain was working after that. And I also ended up being like the kid that had to go up in front of like in an auditorium or in a gym, going up in front of schools to teach kids why it was so important to wear your helmet. And so I would show my broken helmet and the therapy that I had gone through. Yeah. So, and that's so horrible. Police officers, like I could get like a day. No, it was fucking amazing because
was it? That's horrible.
I would get the day off of school and I could like go with a police officer to another elementary school and talk to them about safety and wearing your helmet. And I was just kind of there. I didn't really speak about anything except like showing my helmet. And then I would go sit down. And so I really didn't do anything.
Dude, that's a prime gig.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
That is so good. You know what? You know why? Because fuck learning, right? Is that what we're saying? Is this the point of the story?
Yes. I hated school so much. Oh, I was just not into
it. Is it weird that I'm jealous of your brain injury because I actually had to go to class?
Yes.
It's like, man, why couldn't I have a traumatic brain injury in elementary school?
God damn it, Kendra. Yeah, I'm so sorry that you had to wait later in life to get yours. But
let me ask you a question about that. Were you diagnosed with anything or were you just one of those, oh, she had her bell rung?
Concussion. Yeah, I had a pretty severe concussion. Yeah.
Okay. And this is back in the day because you're not like 15 now. I don't know how old you are. You're white. You could literally be like 20 or you could be like 73. You guys don't age well. So I'm saying. So
We don't. Yeah. I'll be 37 in October.
Are you? Wait, seriously?
37 Did in you October. Say
30? Get the fuck out of it. Kendra.
I know.
I can say this because we're friends, right? You are aging remarkably.
I'm not even
saying that like ironically. Like I'm saying that like, holy shit. Wow. That's crazy. Because to be honest, I probably thought you were like in your mid 20s. I was like, she's aging okay, I guess. Like, yeah, this is remarkable. This is great. Good stuff. Well, you know why? Because I can't really tell because your husband's an Asian dude and, you know, Asian don't abrasion. He like looks That's like right. he could be like 15 or 57. You never know.
You never know. He and his sister are so much older than me and look so much younger than me. It pisses me off. She's like almost 10 years older than me. And she got carded for an R-rated movie. I'm like, you fucking bitch. Like, that's how young she looks. She's going to be.
And you're being called ma'am by the 20-year-olds.
Fuck you guys. Yeah.
This was at the time when concussions weren't like a big deal, really. It was just like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, we didn't understand the impact that a concussion can have on a developing brain, right?
Yes. Yeah. They, I don't really remember much treatment being done other than when I was having issues with hand-eye coordination, having to put a peg into a hole, trying to figure out how to get that peg into a hole. And I just remember having to like just play with pegs and that hand-eye coordination, occupational therapy type of thing. I don't really remember much other than that. It was just kind of like what you said, you had your bell rung and then they just kind of send you back to school. And then you're wondering why you're tripping and falling. Like my parents, I mean, I actually had a school counselor pull me aside to check me for bruises because they thought maybe my parents were beating me because I had no coordination. So I kept like falling and hurting myself and I'd come to school with bruises and they were like, this girl's getting beat at home.
Right. Right. And they're like, I get really it.
And I've always just had really bad. I'm just a very clumsy gal. Okay.
Were you always clumsy or do you think after the concussion really kind of mess with your equilibrium?
That's a really,
By the way, yes, it was a good question. Cause those are the only kind of questions I ask.
Yeah, that's so true. I've never heard you ask a bad question ever. You're amazing.
You're right.
Yeah. I think just like trying to remember my childhood, because my concussion happened so young, really, right. I don't remember much of ever not being super clumsy. So it could be totally related. It could not be. I couldn't tell you. I'd have to ask my parents, actually.
Yeah, that's actually probably something that they would remember, you hope, unless both of your parents are both clumsy people. And you're like, yeah, it just kind of runs in the family. We walk into walls, fall down steps. It's just what we do.
Not just me. Just me. Nope.
So you said that this is like one of many things, I'm assuming. So that's the young version of the brain injury. You had more?
Well, I have had a concussion since then, but it was a very mild concussion. But I don't know if it stems from my concussion or we do think that it might actually just be like part of the autoimmune, but I do suffer from narcolepsy. And I know a lot of people in the brain injury community suffer from narcolepsy, and narcolepsy can be caused by a few things. It can be caused by brain injury. It can be caused by an autoimmune disease that kills the hypocretin in your brain. It can be genetic. You could have genetic coding and you would find that out by getting a lumbar puncture.
Also, I got to say, that is the worst X-Men power, narcolepsy.
Oh,
I have a mutant power. What is it? I fall asleep randomly. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's actually one of the misconceptions, too, is that like a lot of people don't fall asleep randomly. It's at this spectrum of.
Oh, you've regulated me. You've regulated me a few times because like I'm coming at it completely ignorantly. And I know that. And I still make the same jokes because I'm an asshole. You do it on purpose.
Yeah, for
sure. Well, like, you fall asleep. But it's not just like what you see in like Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, where like they had to like tie up her hair so she doesn't drown in her soup. It's not that.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit of what narcolepsy really is?
Yeah. So there's like a huge spectrum of symptoms and severity of symptoms, and every single narcoleptic person. I'm in a few groups, support groups on Facebook and Instagram, where a lot of narcoleptics talk about their experience. And I have to say, it's so vastly different from person to person. It's really hard to pin down exactly what narcolepsy is and how that might manifest in a person. And so I can really talk mostly just about my experience, but I do know generally it's excessive daytime sleepiness. Obviously, we are extremely tired people. And what specialists tend to say is people with narcolepsy, if you want to understand how tired they might be, you would have to go 2 to 3 days without sleep to really understand the type of exhaustion that we experience normally. Right. So when we sleep, we spend most of our sleep in REM. And a lot of people are like, isn't REM a good thing? Actually, in like, you know, like sugar and caffeine in moderation, right? So REM is tricky. So the way that we enter REM, when we enter REM and how long we stay in it is also different from a from one person with narcolepsy to the next. So we don't get deep restorative sleep. So we have also a lot of memory loss, we have brain fog. Sometimes we hallucinate, either auditory or visual hallucinations, because what happens is we can hit REM while our eyes are still open. So part of our brain is awake and functioning. And then the other half of your brain is like, yeah, no, I'm done. And it'll just go into REM.
And so you're basically in a trance.
Yeah. What? Yes. You can feel like you're walking through water. You sometimes, a lot of things that people say is it feels like I'm lucid dreaming while I'm awake. And so a lot of us, sometimes we can't tell the difference between when we have dreamt an occurrence and when that occurrence has actually really happened. And one of my favorite things to say to my husband will be like, hey, did this really happen or did I dream this? And I have to ask him that often, because I really, sometimes I can't tell if my memory is real or not, right? Because my memory is so poor to begin with.
You're like, last night, did we not ride dragons? Did that happen or did that not happen?
Yeah or nay? Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And okay, here's a really good example. Just 2 days ago, I was walking around. I just recently moved to a new town, and I went to Target, and I started to I was getting lost in this Target, and most Targets are set up pretty much the same. But for some reason, I could not find my way to the checkout line, and I just kept ending up in circles. And at one point, I just stopped my cart and I grabbed my phone, and I'm looking through my phone because I'm trying to figure out if I'm asleep or not. I actually thought, am I dreaming right now? And I had to start questioning my reality. I was like, am I dreaming right? Because I lucid dream. And so sometimes it takes me a minute to figure out, okay, am I dreaming or am I awake right now? And some of the best ways to tell that is to start going through your phone. And if you can operate your phone in a way that makes sense.
Right. You're like, let me text Abraham Lincoln real quick. Like, I might be sleeping.
Exactly. No, that's exactly fucking right.
After brain injury, it's common to feel like life as you knew it is gone forever. You may not be sure how to move forward and regain a sense of control and purpose, but there is hope. You can absolutely start living a meaningful and purpose-driven life after brain injury. It just might look a little different than it did before. That's where Rocky Recovery comes in. It's a step-by-step program designed specifically for brain injury survivors who want to start living their best life again. I'll help you set goals that are meaningful, attainable, and give you purpose post-brain injury so you can focus on recovery and start enjoying life once again. If you're ready to start living your best life after brain injury, enroll in Rocky Recovery today at goals.usorock.coach. Now let's go Rocky Recovery together.
Or like telling the time. Like if I can tell the time on my phone, I know that I'm awake. And so there's
Are you a Leonardo DiCaprio? Is your life Inception? Do you have, is your phone your totem? Is that what it is?
That's like exactly right. Yeah.
What is that? Yeah. Okay. So as ignorant as I am when it comes to narcolepsy, I had no idea that it was like that. I didn't know that you could be basically in a sleep state. You could be half asleep and half awake. That blows my mind. Mm-hmm. Like that shocks me.
Yes. And a lot of the symptoms too, when you start having a sleep, they call them sleep attacks. Usually it's when you start to get this deep and sudden urge to sleep. Like it actually is physically painful to keep yourself awake in these moments, because you're actually like fighting, your body's like, no, I'm going to drag you to sleep. And you're like, I'm driving. I absolutely not. So I don't experience that very often. I did experience this yesterday because I was in the heat a little bit too long and I was socializing at an event. So once I'm in the heat and I'm peopling and I became unraveled. So I don't necessarily have these sleep attacks very often, but I do. A lot of narcoleptics or people with narcolepsy, they actually experience this very often to a point where they can't hold a job or a family or anything like that. So there are varying degrees of severity. Some people don't lucid dream. Some people do. Some people hallucinate. Other people don't. We all experience it so differently, but I think the most common thing is just that exhaustion during the day. And what you've seen a lot too with me, I always call myself the worst narcoleptic because, as you know, you've seen 1,000 times, I am up until 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yes.
And you text me, go to sleep or go to bed. And I'm like,
I'll send you the Ben Stiller. You will go to sleep or I will put you to sleep.
Or I'll put you to sleep. Yeah. He's a, because I have like paradoxical insomnia. So there are actual like a lot of people with narcolepsy. We want to scream sometimes because we can't sleep when we need to, and we can't stay awake when we need to. It's just like opposite. So I think, you know, some of us suffer from circadian rhythm disorder. I think maybe I have that. I haven't been diagnosed with it, but it's like my prime sleep time is 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. And the rest of the day, if I can sleep those hours, I can stay unmedicated. And
that's close to like my schedule.
Well, I mean, as somebody who has suffered a TBI, you might have narcolepsy. I mean, you know, because even if you don't hallucinate, even if you have excessive daytime sleepiness, and depending on your REM patterns and your sleep disorder or your sleep periods.
My sleep pattern is fucked. It's so bad. It's so basically my bedtime normally, if I'm going to bed early, it's about 2 o'clock. Normally it's about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Yeah. And without breaking, you know, like I have the same rhythm, my same routine. My body naturally wakes up at like 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'm, you know, running on like 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and that's just steady. And I don't really nap because I'm a toddler. So I don't do that. And who knows? Wait a minute. I don't hallucinate. You have horns, right? Like that's a thing. And there's fire coming out of your eyes. I'm not hallucinating. That's just what you look like. Cool. Yeah. We're fine. We're good.
Yeah. Everything's fine.
So I have a question. Like a lot of that shit sounds like really, really. It just sounds like a lot, right? What's the worst part? Like, what's the one thing if you're like, I just wish I just didn't have this one fucking thing. Like, what's the one thing you'd be like, yeah, I can handle this a lot better if I didn't have, if this one thing didn't happen. What's that one thing?
About narcolepsy, like what's the one symptom I wish I could live without? Mm-hmm. So I would say the sleep attacks where, so for example, like at the event that I was at the other day, when I started to feel like I was lucid dreaming,
when you say lucid dreaming, you were lucid dreaming while you were awake.
Yeah. So I'll be at this event and I feel like I'm walking through water. It feels like in that moment, feels like I'm lucid dreaming. Right. If at some point I don't take a nap, I will start to hallucinate. That's just like, cause my brain is Ben Stiller. It's listen, I'm going to REM or I'm going to be like, you're going to REM or I'm going to put you to REM. Like I'm going to do it whether you're asleep or not. Right. So I can't choose that. So, but what, you know, so I feel like I'm lucid dreaming. I feel like everything, I'm so groggy. I can't focus my eyes. I'm slurring my speech a little bit. That's probably the worst I'll feel because when that happens, I can't drive. I can't communicate. And when that happens at an event like that, that was really important for me. I was there to network within my community and my husband was there and I could tell he was starting to get aggravated because he doesn't know these people I do. And he's there for me and I'm not socializing because I am in a state of mind where I'm slurring my speech. I don't want these people to think that I'm drunk or high, or I don't want to leave the wrong impression. When I communicate, I say a lot of the wrong words. And I don't know why I'm saying these words and they just don't fit. And so like, those are the types of situations that give me a lot of anxiety because I feel like, especially if Greg is involved, if it was just me there, I'd ask my husband to come pick me up because I would not get behind the wheel if I feel like that. But when my husband's involved and he has come out of his way to do something like that for me, or even if I'm at home and I've got chores to do and I just can't do them because I am so tired, I can't move. Those are the days where nobody is more disappointed in me than me. And nobody hates this disorder more than me. And I can tell like I'm disappointing my spouse and he's aggravated, but he's not more aggravated than I am. But I will still carry that guilt with me all day that he has. Now he has to do all the chores. Like I was supposed to do the dishes, but I cannot get off the couch. I just can't. Right. My body will not move.
I have thoughts. Mostly I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to yell at you for feeling the way that you're feeling. Now, I say this constantly, right? Like I do. And I truly feel this. We have to feel our feelings. We have to. We have to feel whatever it is, whether, you know, it's ridiculous, whether it's not. There are feelings, so they're real to us, right? So the fact that you're like, oh, I don't want to disappoint. Like, oh, fuck, you're not disappointing anybody. This is something that you deal with. This is something that is part of your life. You're not disappointing anybody who means anything to you, right? And you mean something to them. You're not disappointing anybody. I understand that feeling because I live it. Like, I get it and I do it all. And I say this, I'm talking to you, but I'm also talking to me. It's really hard not to be like, oh, you fucking piece of shit. Like, it sucks.
Yes.
That's immediately what goes through your head. That's the worst thing to feel, right?
Oh, it's terrible. The self-hatred,
It's the worst. It's the worst, right? We're projecting our feelings on ourselves to other people. Like, oh, I'm terrible. They think I'm terrible. No, they don't. They don't. The people that care about us fucking care about us, right? If they truly care about this, about us, they'll do their best to understand the things that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, right? Do you want to know what does not help the situation? Burying yourself emotionally. It does not help. I'll say this, and you should say it to yourself frequently. You're not a burden. You're not. You're not disappointing anybody. You're a human being that's been dealt a really difficult hand, and you're coming through it with a fucking smile on your face, which is really, really admirable.
Thank you.
And I think you got to give yourself a little bit more grace than you do. If not, I'm going to yell at you. Just saying.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I, you know, in support groups, I always tell people, you got to give yourself a little bit of grace here. And
it's easy to say to them, right? It's easy to say to them, but to do it, it's almost fucking impossible.
Oh, it's so impossible. And I have to say, too, like everything that you just said, it absolutely applies to me and it applies to you. And sometimes what I see in some of the support groups that I'm so fond of and some friends that I've made in these groups is a lot of them don't have what you just said, where they don't have a spouse or a family member or a friend that actually understands what it is that they're going through or what their limitations are. And I think, you know, like you were saying about Deuce Bigalow, there's been a lot of misrepresentation of what narcolepsy is in the media. Every single show makes it look like you fall asleep mid-sentence, you fall asleep while you're bowling or into your bowl of soup or, you know, while you're dancing, like Moulin Rouge, he'll be singing and goes, whoop, and then he falls backwards. Or people, because narcolepsy is usually represented in a comical way, people... You know, in comedies, I mean, it's been in Scrubs, it was in Rat Race, it was, you know, it's mostly represented in comedies and it's watching people collapse or ragdoll. That's called cataplexy. It does happen, usually when you experience a really strong emotion. But like the sleepiness of it, that particular part is so misunderstood because a lot of people think like, well, I'm tired too. Oh, well, you should try being a mother of three. Or, you're exaggerating. I can't tell you how many people in the support group say, you know, my husband thinks I'm exaggerating when I'm tired. My mom tells me I've got to get a job and get out of the house, but I'm too tired. There are people who are absolutely debilitated by this disorder. And I want to call it a disease sometimes because it really does feel like that.
Yeah, it's this wild affliction. What is it? Affliction. I like absolutely. Affliction. That's pretty good, right? So here's the deal. With that person's husband and that person's mother, those people are assholes. Okay.
Yeah.
And I say that because if it's somebody that you truly care about, you do your best to understand. Here's the thing. When it comes to afflictions, good word, there's no possible way you can understand what it's like to live with some of the things that we live with. That's just the God honest truth. Okay. You cannot possibly understand what it's like. You don't have to. You don't have to understand what it's like. And to be honest, I don't think any of us want you to understand what it's like because it's horrific. Yeah. It's horrible.
Oh, it's horrible.
You don't have to understand. The one thing that you do have to do if you truly care about us is not be a dick. The comparison thing. I've said this a lot because a lot of people, you know what it is? And I've said it a lot on the podcast and I'm saying it more and more because it's like it happens more and more now that we're peopling more. People are very uncomfortable. Normies are very uncomfortable with the fact that they cannot connect and understand what you're dealing with. Right.
Yeah.
There's always a compare. Oh, man, I broke my ankle. Oh, man, I had a really bad sprain in high school. So like I kind of get the pain. Right. There's always some I understand what you're feeling because I experienced something similar in the brain injury community. You can't do that. You can't do it. So the thing, I'm tired too because I do all these things. Yeah, that's great for you, right? I've had this before where I'm like, man, the neural fatigue has literally just destroyed my day. I can't even keep my eyes open. oh man, I'm exhausted too, because I worked a 12-hour shift. I had to go pick up the kids. I went to the gym. I had to go run some errands, like all of those things. And I'm like, yeah, I woke up and I brushed my teeth. I had to take a 4-hour nap. There's a huge difference there, right?
Yes.
And
yes,
it's the difference between exhaustion and fatigue. When you're exhausted, you can take a nap, you can go to sleep, you wake up and you're refreshed, right? You recharge. When you're fatigued, when this neurofatigue kicks in, you can sleep for 8 days and wake up just as exhausted. You don't recharge. Yeah. That's the problem. Yeah. If you've never experienced it, you cannot understand. So don't compare. It's really simple. Right. Just don't compare. You dicks.
Right. Right. Yeah, you dicks. Yeah. No, it's you summed that up so beautifully, because when you don't get good restorative sleep, whether you have narcolepsy or you just have a severe TBI and you don't reach restorative deep sleep, you wake up feeling like you're not refreshed when you wake up in the morning. Oh, you wake up just as tired. Just you're ready to sleep again. Just as tired.
The worst.
So I like to use the cell phone analogy. If you think about a faulty cell phone battery and you plug it in, you let it charge overnight, that doesn't necessarily mean you have a full battery in the morning. Right. So you could wake up with, and it's always unpredictable, you could wake up with a 4% charge, you could wake up with 80% charge, and how fast that cell phone battery depletes is also unpredictable. That 4% could last you all day. You don't need a nap, but you're freaking so tired and you're dragging your feet all day, you're at 4%, but it lasts you all day. That 84% could drop to a zero while you're in the mall and you have to sit down and like take a nap at the cafeteria table. You know, it's just
the one thing, it makes no sense, right? It's like one day I will be able to do anything and everything. I knocked out so much. And at the end of the day, I was so amped up, I couldn't even sleep. Like I had that much energy. And then the next day I can't even get dressed. I can't, like, here's the thing. Not that I can't get dressed. I can't, when it comes to a brain injury or fatigue or true exhaustion, when I say I can't get dressed, I can't process how putting clothes on works. Like it's a sequencing thing where like I have my socks in my hands and I'm like, I don't understand what am I doing with these things? Like it's weird. If you've never experienced it, you don't know what it is. So don't compare. I think that's what we come down to. Normies, just don't compare.
Yeah, just stop trying to compare. You know, if I had a dollar for every time someone said, oh, I wish I could fall asleep anytime I wanted to, I could sleep all day, or, oh, you know, blah, blah. I'd have a lot of money. I'd have a lot of money every time someone misunderstood exactly what narcolepsy is, whether they misunderstand how tired I am or they think it's necrophilia. Like, you know,
can I tell you what's funny? I was going to make that joke. Like starting out, I was going to be like, and she sleeps with dead people. But I didn't make that joke. I didn't do that.
I am so proud of you because I really did expect it. I'm like, I wonder how long it'll take him to make the necrophilia joke.
All right. Joe's an asshole. I know it's coming.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I prepared myself. But I mean, I've actually, like, I told someone, when I tell people I have narcolepsy, I no longer tell them that it's narcolepsy. I say, I have a neurological disorder. Because if the minute you say narcolepsy, they immediately discredit anything that you might feel or say. It's an automatic, it's a joke. They don't take it seriously. So I don't even call it narcolepsy. And if I ever needed to get, like when I needed accommodations at work, I called it a neurological disorder. And I asked my doctor, when he wrote me a note for accommodations, I said, could you just call it a neurological disorder? I don't want them to know that I have narcolepsy, because immediately, boom, you lose all credibility the minute that word comes out of your mouth. Or they think that you sleep with dead people. And I've actually had someone be like, you should keep that to yourself. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I probably shouldn't be going around telling people I have narcolepsy. I do usually call it a sleeping disorder. Like, oh, narcolepsy. You know? And I was like, what did you think? I said, I thought it was the dead people thing. And I'm like, yes, right, I just walk around admitting that I like to sleep with dead people. That's absolutely what I was.
Right. You know, I saw you and I'm like, you have death behind your eyes. And that just reminded me of how much I like sleeping with dead people. Oh, my God. People are worst.
Yeah. The worst. They're awful.
Oh, my God. So, look, I know it's a difficult thing to deal with. I'm happy that, you know, you deal with it with like a bit of a, this is why we get along. Right. We kind of joke through our trauma, which is, I don't know if it's the healthiest thing in the world, but it works, Right?
Yeah. I mean, if I can't laugh about it, it's going to drown me, man. There is just no way I could survive this if I couldn't laugh about it.
Are you finding it hard to recover at home after stroke? Find out if Modus Nova can help you by taking their free online assessment at modusnova.com/theneuronerds. If you haven't heard of Modus Nova, they make devices to help folks with a brain injury, like stroke, regain the use of their affected limbs. For example, the Modus Hand is an AI-powered robotic exoskeleton that helps users do exercises and play games, similar to the way an occupational or a physical therapist might manipulate the limb. It helps survivors get in the thousands of repetitions they need to form new neural pathways. It can assist with hand movements or resist them to provide a personalized exercise experience. If this sounds like something you want to try, visit modusnova.com/theneuronerds to learn more. Use special code TheNeuroNerds when you sign up and get a month free with the 30-day challenge. Just visit modusnova.com/TheNeuroNerds to get started.
I mean...
Right. It's better to laugh at this stuff than just be like really fixated and focused on the trauma. You know, there's always two sides to every coin, right? So when it comes to like, look, Lauren and I started this because we both almost died. Right. That's inherently funny. No, it's not inherently funny, but we can talk all day about how close to death we came and how much everything like our brain injuries took from us. Or we could talk about like how great it is to be here, which is what I choose to do. And then we make fun of the crazy things that give us a lot of trauma. You know, we take a little bit. Here's the thing. I think when we joke about it and like we're not making light of the situation or anyone else's situation, we're making light of our own. We're taking the power away from the trauma. Right. We're like we're pulling the pants down of the monster that's attacking us. Like we're making fun. Yeah. It's not as scary if we're joking about it. So I think that's where you and I get along, too, because we're both severely flawed human beings with a very disturbing sense of humor.
That's exactly right.
It's a pretty
good description, right? Son of a bitch. I'm perfect. What are you talking about?
I think you and I became friends. When you call, I think you called me either a motherfucker or a son of a bitch. It was something. You left me like a voice message, like a voice note. And I was like, oh, Kendra's like cool.
Yeah.
and I was like, yeah, we're going to be homies like forever.
Yeah. I think it was when we got into, it was early in the pandemic and we're bored as fuck because it was the beginning of the pandemic, right?
Bored in the house. Yeah. We're in the house bored.
Yeah. Yes. And we got into a competition where every day we would send each other what t-shirt we were wearing. Because we both have so many t-shirts.
I was dominating. I got to tell you, I was killing it.
Bitch,
yeah,
please.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. No way. There is no way. How dare you? No.
The confidence behind that bitch, please. Absolutely
not. Bitch, please. Get out. No.
You know what? With the current shirt that you're wearing, you're kind of winning today. I'm topical because, you know, I've got like the Obi-Wan Funko thing happening, but you're pink and a slime green necromorph.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Necromorph for the necrophiliac? Got it. This is perfect.
It's
perfect.
No. It's the perfect. I was going with a theme. Necromorph.
It's so funny that people actually think that. They're like, oh, you're necrophilia. That's so weird.
Yeah. When she was so like, you should keep that to yourself. I was like, okay.
You should stay indoors because being out probably in public doesn't work for her. Do you avoid situations knowing that they're probably going to drain you and you're going to have an issue towards the end of the night?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have to plan. So, you know, right before we got onto the podcast, I spent a lot of time laying down, eating nerds clusters, just praying for enough energy for the conversation, you know, because you have to work all day. And then I ran out to the store. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I have enough energy for tonight. And I, like, give myself like pound some sugar, get some energy. But that happens to me almost every time I need to do something. I sometimes have to spend all day getting ready for that social interaction, preparing for it.
Dude, peopling is exhausting. Also, when I think, you know what, I need energy, let's go with sugar.
Sugar.
there's no impending crash.
Not at all. You know what it is? I just need it for an hour, and whatever crash I come after that, that's fine. I'll crash great. As long as I have that energy just enough to get me through whatever social interaction that is, I don't care what crashes on the other side of it. Fine.
You know, can I tell you what's great about everything you just said? You legit sounded like a drug addict defending your drug use. Look, I just need
I just need enough, man.
Baby, I need it. I need it, baby.
I mean, if I leave the house without my without some kind of sugar something in my purse, it's almost like it's like having like a therapy dog or something. If I don't have it with me, I start to panic. Like, oh, I don't have my candy, my sugar. You know, I'm like, oh God, what if I crash and I can't come out of it and I can't drive home? And you know, it's just like, I gotta have it, man.
Mama doesn't have her medicine. Mama needs her medicine. Hey, does it annoy you when people are like, oh, I know how to fix this?
Yeah, here it comes. So when people are like, oh, you're tired. So obviously it's, well, you should fix your sleeping pattern. Sleep hygiene is so important. They're not wrong. Sleep hygiene is extremely important. But for a narcoleptic, it just doesn't work that way.
It doesn't.
It just doesn't work that way. I wish it did. If it was that easy, narcolepsy just wouldn't freaking exist, man. Like, it just, you know, so, but sleep, like, oh, well, if you just go to bed earlier. I mean, I get that all the time. If you go to bed earlier. And then the wildest thing would be like, if you mix turmeric into your coconut oil and then you drink it with a ginger tea. And I'm like, no, turmeric and yoga and these things like calming. Look,
clearly, none of those things work. But have you tried celery juice?
Oh, not yet.
So here's the thing. Two things can be true, right? Sleep hygiene is absolutely important. It is so important. That being said, that doesn't necessarily work for narcoleptics. It just doesn't. Not everybody is built the same. That's why there is no like one thing that works for everybody. And it's like, no, that's not true, dude. They're like, oh, well, look, we all need sun, right? We all need vitamin D. Do you want to know what's crazy? There are people in the world who are allergic to the sun. Okay, so there isn't one thing that works for everybody. Like, we're all different people, you know, just like brain injuries. Like, as individuals, we're like thumbprints and snowflakes. We're not alike. So what works for you or the vast majority of people, there's still a subset of people that would be like, have the exact opposite effect. So I worked at a vitamin store for years, and there's this thing called valerian root. Have you ever heard of it?
I have.
Okay. It smells like the inside of an asshole. It's so bad. It smells so bad. Like, it's so bad. So valerian root has a very calming effect. If you're struggling with sleep or anxiety, you have some valerian root. It's been around forever. It's huge in like Mexican culture. I learned about it from like some abuelitas that used to come in and make tea out of it. I'm like, how do you drink that shit? It's disgusting. We have pills. Anyways, so for 90 some odd percent of the people out there, it, like, when you take it, it makes you sleepy. It's very calming. There's a very small percentage of people who take valerian root and it's like Red Bull. They will be bouncing off the walls, their blood pressure will spike, and they're just like all over the place. I realized back then, it's like, oh, we're all different people. We can't say, oh yeah, this is going to work for this. We say, hey, this might work for this because we're all different people. You know what I'm saying? So like, for the vast majority of people, sleep hygiene is incredibly important. If you go to bed earlier, if you meditate, if you do certain things, it's going to help with your sleep rhythm. If you have narcolepsy, all that shit goes out the window.
Goes out the window. Whether it's a TBI or you're neurodivergent or you have narcolepsy, when your brain doesn't really do what it's supposed to be doing, then the normal everyday person's advice does not apply to the problem, right? Because that works for you. But and even within the community, what works for me as a person with narcolepsy may not work for my other friend who also has narcolepsy. So for me, I found gabapentin helps to regulate my REM at night, and I don't need to be medicated during the day. I just use a lot of caffeine, and if I need to, a scheduled nap. and other people cannot function, and they're on 6 or 7 different kinds of medications. Yeah. Some people find relief with Xyrem or Xywav, and people with cataplexy too. That's like a whole other topic. What works for just one person with either, and I'm sure with even within the stroke community and the concussion for community, sure. What happens for you is not necessarily what's going to happen for the next person. So it's just such a hard thing to pinpoint, and everybody thinks they know the answer. Right. Oh, I was a nurse for 30 years. Have you tried? And you're like, I don't give a shit what you did for 30 years.
It's kind.
Like,
thank you. But it might not work. Like, I appreciate, hey, have you tried this? Like, I appreciate that, you know? And I will try a lot of different things, you know? And I will also advise, hey, I did this and this like worked for me. It might not work for you, but this thing worked for me.
Yes.
I don't suggest anybody do the things that I do. You know, I go to sleep very late. I wake up very early. I drink coffee. Like, I don't nap. Don't be like me. You know, there's something severely wrong with me. Ask Kendra. She'll agree.
There's so much wrong with you.
And this, that has nothing to do with a brain injury. This is just like me at my core.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's a kind way of saying, hey, have you tried this thing? And if they look, most people who have been told this like their whole recovery, they don't want to hear it. They just don't. And you might have that thing that would change that person's life. You can't force it on anybody. All you do is just like, hey, you're thirsty. Try this. This might quench your thirst. Right. Or it might not. You know, it might not. So like offer, but be kind too. And also understand that all day, every day, most of us are hearing this shit from strangers. Not only strangers, members of our family. Hey, well, why can't you do this? Have you tried this? I know so-and-so and they had the exact same thing and they're fine. Like, it sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, it sucks for us a lot. So most more, just be kind, right? #2022. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Oh, yeah. Don't be a dick. I knew it was coming.
So how's your energy right now? How has this been? Has this been draining?
You know, I am starting to feel that like mental fog coming in. Mm-hmm. So I do feel it. I'm like, but actually these types of conversations do energize me in a way. So I'm actually a little bit more, I am more energetic than I was when I started, but I am feeling that brain fatigue where I can tell I'll probably start slurring in the next hour.
Well,
or so,
I'm sorry I bore you, Kendra.
Yes, that means I was bored.
No, this look, no, this has been amazing.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get you on a podcast for a long time. You know that.
You have. Yeah, you have.
And you've been like, no, I hate you. And I was like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? I thought we were cool.
I was like,
it was that one time where like I was FaceTiming you and I'm like, will you be on the podcast? And you spit at me. I was like, what? Why?
I did. Like that dinosaur in Jurassic Park. I just like opened up my hood and I just spit at you.
And I was there. And I was there like Newman. Being spit on, like it was terrible. look, this has been really, really informative for myself.
Yeah.
You know, look, you're my homie, and I want to know more about like afflictions, like these things that you have to deal with, so I can know more information, so I can make more fun of you. And I mean that because
you know
I've learned
this.
I've learned this from me. My love language is annoyance. You know. Like, I annoy my friends. I like to poke. It's kind of like if somebody,
I'm a poker too.
Yeah. Like, if you have a bruise, I'm the dude that I'm going to poke the bruise because it basically says push me. Right. So you have this thing and it's like, let me make fun of it because I think it's funny because my heart's full of hate and I can, you know, say awful things because you're my friend. Right. I don't say say these things to my enemies. That would be wrong.
If you're being nice to me, I'm worried. I'm like, what did I do?
You're like, damn it, are we not friends anymore? What is happening? Why are you not telling me I sleep with dead people? This is the worst thing you've ever done to me, Joe. I love this. This has been great. I'm not going to hold you too much longer because I don't want you to pass out in your soup. See, now I can make jokes.
Yeah, you're so funny.
And you can look down on me.
I will.
Sorry, it's so stupid. No, like honestly though, like this has been really, really cool to like know more about this because I know you're not the only one, you know. There are support
there are support groups on Facebook that I'm a part of, Positively narcolepsy support, narcolepsy humor is my favorite. We share a lot of memes. I once shared a picture of like why my alarm clock didn't go off. It was because I put the time into my calculator, or, you know, the time that I put my ATM number into the microwave. Like, we like to joke about shit because when your brain fog settles in, you do the weirdest shit. So narcolepsy humor is my favorite support group, just because we can really laugh about the dumb shit that we do. And that is just a tonic. It is really medicinal for real.
No, it really is. There's something so comforting about people, a group of people, or in, even just individuals speaking to one another, right? Like you and I, like we have some brain things. There's something so comforting about talking to you, and we're joking about this really, really life-altering thing that happens to us that is not funny at all, but it's funny to us because we experience it and we're taking a little bit of power away from how horrific it is, right? It's still horrible, but it's not going to define the rest of our lives, right? It's a moment in time, and it's not 24 hours a day. And if it is 24 hours a day, it's not 24 hours every day, right? We push through, we smile because we made it, right? We made it back, and they're throwing lemons at us and we're making lemon meringue pie.
That's right.
I like that better than lemonade. Not a huge lemonade fan, you know. Maybe we'll throw some of that lemonade and some iced tea and make an Arnold Palmer, but definitely we're making lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
I'm speaking your language.
Yeah. Food? So hell yeah.
So I'm just so appreciative of you coming on the show. Now, I intended this honestly to be like super nerdy. We did not even touch nerd.
Get there yet.
We didn't. Right. We didn't. So now I'm putting you on the spot. You're going to come back and you're going to talk nerd with me, right?
Yes.
I'll
come back and talk nerd. And you know what? There's probably somebody out in the community that related a lot to some of the things that I might have said today and is probably discovering that they probably have narcolepsy.
Yeah.
Call your sleep doctor. Could be apnea. Could be sleep. Could be some kind of... Go get your MSLT. And if I need to come for a part two, we can talk more about it. Because
you do so need... to come for a part two. Like, that's happening.
The nerd part, but you know, like the narcolepsy part, because there's going to be people out in the community that are going to relate to a lot of narcolepsy.
Whenever there's narcolepsy awareness week or narcolepsy awareness month or day, I'm sure you have one of those things. You definitely have to come on and like, we'll do a special episode and give out like some kind of crazy information and stuff. It'd be great. On top of that, you definitely have to come back and talk nerd because you are Ken Dragon Warrior. And what just released today?
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
House
Game of Thrones. Yeah. House of the Dragon. Probably won't even watch
it. What? You have to.
I don't know. I might.
You have
just
to?
So we can talk about it.
Yeah. Are you not a fan?
Matt Smith. Well, of the books, not so much of the shows. You know what I mean? I'm that person.
Oh, yeah. You are that person, you nerd. Yeah, that's right. A nerd is nerd shaming another nerd, you nerd. So I look forward to getting super nerdy. Yeah. This has really been great. Now, if there is anyone out there who's like, oh man, like I just checked off all of those boxes and I want to talk to this person, how would they reach you?
Well, I have two Instagram accounts. You can reach me at KenDragonWarrior or some.nerds.art. I also have an art page. I do a little bit more often than I do my regular thing.
Amazing an artist you are. Like seriously, like some of the things that she's put together. Holy shit, you're super talented.
Thank you. Yeah, I might take your advice and start a TikTok about that too.
Cool. I think the process of some of the things that you do, it's fascinating. Fascinating, you know? Mm-hmm. And also I just want to see more of the creation process. Right. Yeah, it has nothing to do with you.
No.
Selfishly for me.
So my art page I do sort of keep up on a little bit more often than my personal page. So that might be the easier way because it's public to get in touch with me. So that's some nerds art, some.nerds.art on Instagram.
Boom. Love that. And if all of these things will be in the show notes, you can reach out to Kendra. She's kind of a dick, but she's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you do me a favor. Yeah. You will go to sleep or I will put you to sleep.
Yes, sir.
Will you rest after this? You promise?
No.
I'll take it. You know, I'm trying to be tough over here. I'm like tissue paper. Like I'm just like soft and frail. I'm not hurting anybody.
Yeah, I promise you I will rest. I will not promise that I will sleep because
I can't control that.
Yeah, that's
very, very true. If I could do that, I wouldn't be talking about this, Joe.
Yeah, come on, Joe.
Kendra, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. It has been great. So definitely reach out to Kendra on all of those. And if you wanted to attempt to reach out to my tiny, beautiful ass-kicking co-host, you can at Lauren L. Manzano on Instagram. You can absolutely reach out to me at Joso Rocks on all the socials. Reach out to us at the Neuro Nerds everywhere. I was going to do like a little sleepy thing right now, but that would be plain disrespectful, Kendra. So
damn straight.
I will say this, though. I do suffer from moderate to severe sleep apnea. I had a procedure. Oh, it was weird. They removed the little boxing glove in the back of my throat.
No way.
Yeah. So it's just like, not even like a nubbin. It's like to clear the airway. It was like a thing, right? So that is Joe opening up his airways to the people out there while talking about narcolepsy. And on that educational note, these neuro nerds are out.
Bye.
Oh, look, we ended that. Just a little information, a little bit of love, a little bit of care. Just killed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, survivors, caregivers, and nerds of all kinds. We are so grateful for each and every one of you who have taken the time to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really makes our day. Not only do we read every single one, but we love reading them on our episodes. So if you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us spread the word about the show. And when you do, just let us know by tagging at the NeuroNerds on Twitter. We might even read your review on our next episode.
NeuroNerds.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.